Winning at Life. This is the Daily Round. And I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on today's show, the numbers was absolutely a wild roller coaster for a couple of stocks here, and we'll have fun detailing that. But I want to start with a news note here for our Mississippi folks, and I guess this would be really across the Gulf Coast. If you're within driving distance of the Biloxi Air Show, it might be worth going out there. You know, I used to love air shows when I was a kid, and my kids are almost old enough to where if you take them to see that, it will just blow their mind. But it's what you expect. The Blue Angels are going to be there, and there's Blue Angels from the Marines and from the Navy. I guess they kind of compete there, but an aerobatic team, a couple of cool flybys, Black Hawk helicopter is going to show up there. The problem we have is it's on Saturday and Sunday. Gates open at 9 a.m., and our show starts at 10 on Saturday. So if you're one of the early birds on Saturday, you're going to have to get the Winning at Life app and listen through your headphones for the first couple hours of the show there, because it doesn't actually start until, what was that, 1 o'clock? We'll just pretend like it's 1 for our own convenience here. But no, there's more details on sunherald.com. So the IRS finally says that backdoor Roths are okay. And if you're new to the term backdoor Roth, something we've talked about on this show before, kind of sounds sketchy, doesn't it? But it's not. It sounds like there's some gray area. You know, this backdoor sounds like some sort of workaround.
Now you're saying that, but you didn't before. But just that name came out there and caught on, and the IRS says, well, they don't like that name. However, they like what you can do with that process.
Well, I know it's not sketchy or a gray area because I'm on this show, and when I've heard about the backdoor Roth, I immediately brought it to you, and you're like, no, we do that. We do that. We follow the rules. And so the IRS really hadn't made any sort of public, permanent, on-the-record statement about it, but Congress had. Congress has repeatedly, not only did they write the rules in this manner, but whenever they go back and they revisit the rules, these issues come up, and they don't do a whole lot to slap it down. What's going on?
Well, there's no way to cheat on that. You might think you're getting over on them or something, but it doesn't work if you have IRA accounts. You've got to have no traditional IRA accounts and a Roth account. The only IRA account you're using as far as a contribution and then rolling it over. It's you can't go deduct it. It's a non-deductible, meaning you shouldn't deduct it. There's not like a deductible and non-deductible IRA. Which box did you check? You just don't deduct it on your taxes, period. Your objective is roll it over as soon as the next day. Once it's established, you can do so. So there's no way to game the system, and that's why they haven't disapproved it. See, and that's where you're looking for. Well, they've not approved it. They don't go and approve things. It's just all of a sudden a case comes up, and then it gets unwound or disapproved or penalized, whatever it is they do at those points. And that goes back to the 60-day rollover rule. It used to be aggregate of all the accounts, but then
it used to be individual.
That way for decades. Yeah, individual accounts, not aggregate of accounts, until somebody started kiting the system and found a way to game it or was actually caught doing so. There was probably gaming going on until somebody got caught, and then they said, no, that's not what the rule means. This is what the rule means. 1 60-day rollover, aggregate of all your accounts, per 12 months. And that's the system.
Great report here from Ed Slott. He's been mentioned on the show before. He did his own research, and in the face of this ruling, he went back and kind of pointed out to the rest of the financial advisor world that as recently as the Tax Cut and Job Act of 2017, it just went into effect in December, that backdoor Roth option was addressed four different times. and basically said it's fine by them. Now, they don't call it the backdoor Roth, but one of the quotes he has, this is how they use their verbiage of it. This is a congressional conference report on the law. Although an individual with the AGI exceeding certain limits is not permitted to make a contribution directly to a Roth IRA, the individual can make a contribution to a traditional IRA and convert the traditional IRA into a Roth IRA. So they don't have a fancy name for it. They're just like, this process, whatever y'all want to call it, it's all right. Not only is it okay by the law, we intentionally wrote it for you to do that. Word's getting out about it, though. Not a lot of people, but there were a few holdouts, according to this article here, of some financial advisors who wouldn't jump on it. Some said the IRS would eventually call this a step transaction, and thus it would be illegal, and they were concerned about having to go through and rework all these cases if the law changes in front of your face, because, you know, a lot of times they'll grandfather you in, but there's still a mess to clean up. But that was a new term to me, a step transaction, step hyphen transaction, like stepdad or stepchildren or step transaction. And they don't like that. There, backdoor Roth. It is now officially on the books, legal. IRS isn't going to question it. In fact, they gave it their blessing, and that just happened at the end of last week. Today, you would think there would be a little more fanfare around this, but you know, did you even know that we're in the middle of Amazon Prime Day? Hasn't this been a huge holiday the last 3 years in a row? And it seems not really that big of a deal today. Well, part of it is because it started at 3 p.m. Eastern time today. So 2 p.m. our time for most of the people who are listening live. Did it always start in the middle of the day? I thought it was one of these things where you just wake up and you go at it. But there's been so many other companies that have their answer to Amazon Prime Day that it's not even really Amazon Prime Day. It's now becoming like this bizarro Black Friday. It's like a,
like Christmas in July.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like
a part of that. Yeah.
It's this weird Black Friday ish event. And yeah, sure. Some people were gassed up for Amazon Prime Day, but some people were gassed up for the deals that were being offered by eBay and Best Buy and American Eagle and Kohl's and Macy and JCPenney's and Nordstrom. Oh, and that little chain, you might have heard of these guys, Walmart. Yeah, they like to do some big deals on Amazon Prime Day to undercut their biggest competitor here, or what may be their biggest competitor. But all this is based on Amazon's birthday. This was the day that Amazon.com and its baby infancy first got started, those many moons ago, and right at 20 years, something to that effect. Man, you remember when Amazon.com was just a bookstore? What happened?
It got out of control.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the place to go get books. It still is, but it's the place to go get everything.
In fact, I went there a couple weeks ago to get a book, see if they had a book. And it was sort of nostalgic. It's like, oh, this is hilarious. I'm actually going to Amazon.com to buy a book. This is great. It's like logging on to Netflix.com to have them mail you a DVD. That would just be so nostalgic. It'd be hilarious. That's what's going on with that. Amazon Prime Day. Was it even on your radar, Gregory? Did you even know that was happening today?
I had picked up on something about it, but it just wasn't on my radar. I wasn't looking for anything to buy. Is it like free shipping or something? Extra discounts?
Yeah, it's a Black Friday sale is what it is. And if you're a Prime member, you get some extra discounts.
So what do they want to do? Just lose a lot of money today?
I don't know. So, you know, sometimes businesses are willing to lose money just for the promotional aspect of one of their campaigns. Amazon probably does lose money on a day like today, especially when they do all the shipping and stuff, because that's where they get their bones for the most part.
You could get a 50-inch Toshiba 4K Ultra HD smart TV with Fire TV for $289.
Usually, oh, man.
$399.99.
That is a deal.
Okay. How many megahertz is it?
How should I know?
It needs to be fast.
Are you gonna get
seeing it?
You're looking for the megahertz.
Yeah, you know, you got to look at the techie part of it. I don't, when I'm watching a football game, I don't want them to kind of blur like Tecmo Bowl was 20 years ago or something.
Look at you. You can't go back, can you?
No, I'm not getting a rotary phone, so don't bother.
Just think of how we used to watch football. I remember we had a 19-inch TV in the living room, and that was the big one. And I was so glad when we got that, because the one before that, it was, at least it was in color, but it was a 13-inch TV. That was in the living room, Gregory. My phone's almost a 13-inch screen, and that thing was probably more. What was that 50-inch 4K? It was $289. Remember when a 19-inch TV was probably like $600?
See, I knew it. Its refresh rate is just 60 hertz.
Unacceptable.
I just would pay more to get the speed.
Really? 60 hertz is unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
Interesting.
I wonder if they have any in stock still.
See, I think we're kind of getting to the point to where the visual capabilities of the TV have surpassed the visual capabilities of our eyes. Like DVD sound above CD sound is barely noticeable, but Blu-ray sound above DVD sound is a level of fidelity our ears can't even pick up. You can't hear a 28 hertz tone. So what's the point of even broadcasting that out? I think 4K is getting there. I see these 4K TVs at the store, and that's better than my eyes can see. That's better than it looks if I'm at the Superdome. Like, it's sharper. And I don't need to see their pores. It's a little bit of blurring, maybe okay.
I don't see a button to buy it.
That could be a problem. They had a rough start there. Some of their servers were crashing because of the big hit.
Well, it'd be typical, like those Black Friday sales. They've got Walmart to have a sale on something. You go in, oh, we only had two of those.
Yeah. That's what this has turned into.
Other
this
stores do it, not just Walmart, Best Buy, all those that should be closed.
I'm James Parker. We're winning at life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at life. The Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, live Financial Talk Radio, 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. Yes. There is no Prime membership fee with it at all. You're just becoming the ultimate member of the Winning at Life Nation. With every sign up, you get to join the club.
It has
no recurring fee,
free shipping,
no fee going up. And yeah, free shipping, free download, all that. It's free. Free one-time login. Free access to podcasts, free access to texting, emailing, and calling the show from your touchscreen on your smartphone. What can be better than free? Tell me. Now, if Amazon could do some stuff for free, that would impress me a lot. Like free Prime membership. On that day, you can sign up, buy it for nothing. How about that? That'd be a deal.
I'd kill them.
This would be somebody that's addicted to shopping online. This would be like their worst dream. You're like, oh, I can get a Asus Chromebook Flip for $399. It's usually $349. That's got to be a misprint there.
Wait, it's more expensive today on Amazon Prime?
It's more expensive today. It's up by $50. Usually $349. Well, they get you on that one. Google Pixel Book, regularly $749. It's usually $845. Well, there's you a deal right there.
Pixel Book.
Yeah.
Is that like a tablet of some sort?
I don't know. It's a lot of stuff you don't need. You need a Samsung Galaxy S9 unlocked, bundle with Amazon Echo plus Amazon Echo Spot. Echo Spot? It's Pet Echo. Okay.
I need my Samsung Galaxy. I need mine locked though. It said it was unlocked. I prefer mine locked.
Locked up. Yeah. Please. Lock it up. Okay. There we go. Yeah. download the Winning at Life app. You can join the conversation, text, email, and be a proud member. Gives you a chance to get involved with our, we'll send you out a notice. See if you want to join the monthly newsletter. You'll get the email version of it.
Unlocked.
It is unlocked, so you could peruse the newsletter. What else do you get? some email updates on what we have going on with the firm and all. Not much stuff. So, oh, don't go think we're going to start emailing you to death. I don't have time to do a lot of emails. I'm busy. Firms that email you like 10 times a day, I don't think they're very busy, huh?
Or they,
that's a lot of emailing to do.
Or they have someone just dedicated to annoying you is what it is. Okay. That's someone's job.
That's a full-time job to annoy you.
Hey, so one thing I noticed today, I was in the office a little bit, and I'm used to it now, but for some reason, I just heard it today, and it dawned on me that I've been hearing this since I've been going into the office, and it's sort of the way I'll speak. You know, pirates developed their own language because they were isolated out of.
We have a language there.
It's a very proto language. It's just the way we use some terms, like PIA. Everyone uses PIA at the office, or if it's used, everyone knows what
personal
it means.
Personal investment route.
Close.
Okay.
But the we're so used to how each other talks, we've developed.
Oh, we speak more in acronyms.
Kinda. Here's the deal. We take, you know, the flow of information extremely serious in the office. So if we're talking about a case and you're working on the case with the person you're talking about, then you can speak freely. But I don't need to know that everything everyone else is working on, and they don't need to be telling me any details that I don't need to know about the cases they're talking about. But yeah, I had a guy come in and he was asking, we were doing a 7702 like that the other day, and then XYZ came off. But you won't say the name. It'll always be pronouns. It'll be a him or a her. I don't know if they're a doctor. I don't know how old they are. Like the lack of information that we use to exchange when we're talking about stories is completely different than when we're outside of the office, because you wouldn't dare intentionally leave out details of a story if you're just telling someone when you're at the house or at the bar or hanging out at church or, you know, in a social setting. You'd say, hey, you know, so-and-so. No, I don't know. Oh, the redhead, the one with the really tall husband, like 6'7", that guy. Oh, yeah, I know him. We don't do any of that in the office. And start watching. We talk different. We've all trained.
But you're not inferring talking about client cases outside the office. You're talking about some other conversation where you're more descriptive, because what we talk in the office stays in the office.
Oh yeah, it doesn't even come up outside
right.
the office.
Right.
It's its own but thing.
Yeah,
its own little microcosm. And now that I've noticed this and I brought it up to you, you're probably going to notice it tomorrow, and you're going to think it's kind of cool.
Well, I was the one doing a lot of talking during the team meeting this morning, so I was probably the main one you were picking that up from, where I'm describing cases, but not in real world detail in our world conversation.
Right. So someone else in the room kind of asked their question about it, but you can't answer in specific terms, so you have to answer in sort of general vague terms, but still make the point as crystal clear as possible. And that's it's own little art form that we've kind of mastered. And I think that's pretty cool. How did you train everyone to do that?
It's, I guess, filters down from the top in that case. And look, and listeners, well, what were y'all talking about? Well, we were talking about 7702. We're talking about Social Security. We were talking about Roths,
mostly taxes is what it was.
And we, well, yeah, I was given a description of a case we had worked on for an individual, and she, here's what her income is going to look like in 12 years, $30,000 a year, tax-free, $20,000 in Social Security untaxed, because she's only being taxed on $18,000 of income, her pension. And she's not taking distributions from her 401k until later, because she's not going to need it. But if she did, she does have room to take more income, because as a single person, it has her under the $25,000 threshold, where it would be 50% inclusive there from SSI, Social Security income. Or her PIA, primary insurance amount.
Oh, see, now you misuse it, and there's some confused people out there now.
Oh, you thought it was like pain in your rear?
Yeah.
No, primary insurance amount. It's all throughout the Social Security website, PIA.
Oh, so and I'm just thinking, the PIA.
You just thought somebody's being a pain in the.
I did.
Yeah. No, we're talking about their primary insurance amount.
Y'all got to clue me in sometime.
And that's the actual amount you're taking from Social Security.
Right.
Such as spousal benefits are based upon the PIA, primary insurance amount.
Yeah, and you were talking about something else where there's another case where the guy working with Dwayne clocked a reverse mortgage and was getting like 4.7% on the unused portion of the credit line from the reverse mortgage that was just compounding up.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and I don't have any fancy acronym for that. I don't know. We could call it blind interest growth. I don't know yet.
I like turbo reverse. I put some thought into this.
Yeah, but then you use the reverse in it.
And that does has a negative turbo, connotation.
It's a TR. Nah, it's got to have three letters to be an acronym.
TRM, right? Turbo reverse mortgage.
Yeah, maybe. But here's what we're talking about, where you can go do a reverse mortgage. Of course, got to be over 62. If you're married, both of you need to be over 62 because you both, in my opinion, have to be on the reverse mortgage. That way, the person that dies that's on it, you get opted out. You don't want to get opted out of the reverse mortgage. You want to continue to be in the home and everything. So, okay, we fix that. But you want to do a reverse mortgage, but you don't need it now. You might need it down the road, but you wanted to lock in the growth of it. So if it's growing at 4.75%, let me see if we're getting a workbook up here. You know how I like my workbooks. Let's see, downloads, desktop, documents. Where's my documents? They moved. Here we go.
So you're going to do $100,000 again on this one?
We can.
It's nice and round. Because here's the deal. If your house is like $150,000, you're not going to be able to get $150,000 on a credit line for the reverse mortgage, but $100,000 seems pretty reasonable. So if that's what you clock, or maybe you get $120,000 out, you use $20,000 now to get a new roof.
$125,000. Okay. $125,000 reverse mortgage. You've got a house, I don't know, it's worth 250, whatever. We'll just call it. I don't know all the numbers and the age there, but just call it, say, a quarter of a million house, 125,000, or let's just go with a smaller house, 100,000. And we'll use that number. Let's just say it's 4.5% crediting you're getting on it for not using it, meaning the line of credit you received is going to grow by 4.25% a year. So we're going to go 10 years out. That takes you to $155,000 in line of credit. So if you maxed it out now, do you know that that house is going to be worth more 10 years down the road? That much more?
Man, 50,000. Maybe not.
Maybe more. Maybe not. But this way you're going in and actually establishing it. You know what it's going to be worth. So you know what the income capability is. If you're looking to turn on income down the road, you know what that block of money is going to be worth. It'd be like using an annuity that's growing at 4.25% a year, knowing what it's going to be, but you have to have money in that annuity for it to happen. The reverse mortgage, you didn't put any money in it.
I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Download the app. Surprise you there, starting with that. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks and James Parker, Life Financial Talk Radio. Yeah, download the app and you can become a part of the Winning at Life Nation. Let's see, what can you do? You can listen to podcasts free. Prime membership isn't free at some places. It's having a big deal today. But you can text, email, call the show for free. One-time login, it's free. Let's talk about maybe your mutual funds, your life insurance, your annuity, your taxes. Now, we were talking about, before we went to break, what were we talking about? Like tax-free income? Yeah, I was comparing, we were talking about the reverse interest expansion plan.
Ooh.
That might could be it.
It does have reverse in there, but.
Yeah. Well, you're not taking out the interest. You're creating a loan, but you're not pulling the money from the loan. You're going to just let the loan grow so they give you more later as a loan.
Home equity expansion.
And you know you're not taxed on loans because you're taking out equity, but you're expanding that equity that you can take as income. Reverse, what did I call it? Reverse
interest expansion. It's not interest though. Wouldn't it be equity expansion or home equity expansion?
Yeah. Maybe income expansion or something like that. Here, I just ran a quick number here when we were talking about how to build up income. Because part of my stage speech this morning at the firm is we were talking about where Social Security's headed. It's kind of going to be short of money.
There's some math issues.
It's sad. Yeah. It's sad. There's some money issues there. And what people are doing to prepare for retirement. I was telling everybody, you've got to save more. And I was even picking out employees, younger employees. You're going to need to save more. When is retirement going to be for you? 70 something, unless you build up money, you're waiting on Social Security to do it. You're going to be waiting much longer. It's going to change for these younger generation, for these millennials and the new millennials and the millennials to come. They're going to work longer. They're not going to have pensions. Not sure what Social Security is going to look like. Probably going to be fine. It's just they're not starting it till much later than people are starting it today. And you need to take advantage of your 401ks and at least get that matching, but you need to create tax-free growth outside of it. So I was just taking a number here. Let's see, what page am I on to do this? I had looked at 50,000 a year. Let's do this here. 50,000. Change this number here. Let's do a 50,000 contribution a year at 4%. Do it for 4 years. 5 years instead. So at year 10, we've accumulated 268,000. There. Is that what I was looking at? Yeah. Or you start with 50,000 and add 50,000 a year more for 4 years. So that would give you year 10, $279,000. So that gives you income capability from that of year 11, about $11,000 a year at 4%. You know how much? And whether it's an IRA, which you can't put 50,000 IRA, you could have 401k under certain situation, owning the plan, bonuses and such. Say it after tax, if you've got 279,000, it's kicking out $10,746 at 4%. And that is taxable income, 50,000 a year. So what if a person, say age, where are we going to start it here? Let's see. A person, let's say age 47, is putting 50,000 a year in a 7702 plan. And at year 11, they could possibly take out $35,640 a year for how long? Let's say they stop taking it at age, go here, 100.
So it's about,
go ahead.
There's about 30 grand versus 11 grand per year for the 401k guy or IRA fella.
Yeah. They're taking out net $1.3 million by age 100. Say, oh, I won't live that long. Okay. Well, let's change the number then. Let's see. That would be 250.
Well, and some fella's going to get a nice inheritance if you don't live that long.
Well, the income's not going to continue like that in that case. So if we were doing it to, age 100, net of $1.3 million. How long you got to live to take 10,000 out a year from 200 and what we did on the other workbook?
You tell me.
Long time at 10,000 a year versus taking out 35,000 a year. Oh, the 35,000 is tax-free. This 10,000 a year is taxed. Well, that sure beats regular savings. Not that you shouldn't have it. Beats any pension I've ever seen. I'm liking that. And I can put in more if I want it. I can put in less. I can start at year 11. I can start at year 15. I can start at year 10. But if I started earlier, I take less out.
Well, the hard part about this just is that you need time.
You always need time. You always need time. What would be better? And Nicholas is putting together some numbers for me for us to talk about it for somebody, let's say age 30, putting money away in it, say for 30 years. And we're going to find out tomorrow what the numbers are going to be doing a 7702 and what kind of tax-free income could come out of that out there. So thinking about it, just like that lady I'd mentioned earlier, $30,000 a year coming from 7702, her Social Security is going to be $20,000 a year and her pension's $18,000. And she's under the threshold for her Social Security to be taxed. So she, look at how much she's netting. She's only paying taxes on $18,000. So what's her tax liability? About $1,800. Out of how much income did I give you?
$58,000. So jealous.
And she could take more, start taking out 401k if she needs it and still stay under that threshold. She could take out like another $6,000 a year and not cause her tax rate to go up.
And look, when RMDs happen, that may change things a little bit, but think how much worse it would be if she didn't have the tax-free strategy and then the RMDs on top of it.
Yeah, imagine all of that being taxable, which would make all of her Social Security, or she'd be 85% inclusive on taxes. Look at the tax bill on that. That's what, being about $54,000. Yeah, she's probably going to be paying $5,000. No, $10,000 in taxes.
So versus what was that? Maybe 1800.
Yeah.
Would be her full tax liability. Yeah. So it's about $8,000 difference plus a little pocket change there. A couple good bar tabs in that. Is it too soon to start talking about our next speaking event? It's a women only event. So just
we've got a number of events coming up before then too, because we're going to do a Social Security workshop. We also have an estate planning workshop, and we have the new tax rules workshop coming up. We don't have specific dates to them, but those should be worked out later this week to get those. And that's coming before the next Gregory Ricks Live event.
Yeah. And someone was,
which was the bomb.
Someone was listening a couple weeks ago, and we mentioned some of these events coming up, and he offered his restaurant up in Mandeville. We might have to give that fellow a call and start setting some things up. Or at least go check it out. I'm going to stop by for a lunch first and give it the old taste test.
Okay. Let us know how it goes.
I will do that soon. All right. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. You hear what he's doing over here with tax-free income and retirement savings and investing, and you've got a financial situation that's hanging over your head right now, and you're just worrying about it. You're probably grinding your teeth when you go to sleep. 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call, send us a question from the Winning at Life app. Kevin over here in Facebook Live, we're going to answer your question as soon as we get back. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Let's see, where is that at? This is Winning at Life. I'm going to own up to some things here. James is wanting to out me. We were talking about step transactions earlier. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. Download the Winning at Life app or call us 504-260-0995. So I was talking about step transaction doctrine, and that combines a series of formally separate steps resulting in a tax treatment as a single integrated event. It's often used in combination with other doctrines, such as substance over form. The doctrine is applied to prevent tax abuse. And that was the concern about the what has been known as the backdoor Roth. IRS doesn't like backdoor anything. So I agree. I'm not so much about using the back door either. I like going in the front of the house or the side door. Or, well, sometimes I use the back door too. It depends on where I park. So it ain't such a bad thing. It gets you a lot of money in Roth. It's just a unique way of describing it. But however, some were concerned about the steps in the process because essentially it's a two-step process. You have to put money into a traditional IRA, but not deduct it. And then anytime thereafter, you can convert it to, or do a Roth conversion, and it's the only taxable event's a few pennies in interest, but you've done a workaround because why would you do this? Because I make too much money to do a Roth contribution. So I do a non-deductible contribution to my traditional IRA, then do a Roth conversion, which has no income limits. They didn't, that's just how the rule was written. They didn't think of that. And it seems that in the recent tax law, it was referred to a number of times. So it seems to be okay. Well, there was no rule against it. There was no, well, if we do this on the first Friday of the year, we're good. No, it's all good. But then we were referring to a case of Gregory versus Helvering in 1935, it was 293 U.S. 465, which allowed the court to recharacterize a tax-motivated transaction. So, you see, I know about that stuff because I've been around a block or two. And so then we were talking about the stock market and such, and I said, well, you know, in 1930, he said, well, that was kind of a tough year. I said, well, yeah, well, 1929, 30, 31 were tough years too. He said, well, how did you handle it? I said, well, I exited the market late 1928. Well, what'd you do with it? I said, I put it in 10-year treasuries. And then he asked me, well, how much were they paying? They were paying in January, 3.6%. So I dropped them in there and hung out for a decade. It's real money. Heck, I can't even get that now. What, 90 years later?
Now I'm going to have to Google how much were war bonds paying, because after the Depression, you took it out of 10-year treasuries and you probably went straight to war bonds, didn't you? War bonds, 1941. We'll figure this out for you.
Yeah, I was hurting then.
No, I'm looking up the wrong thing over here.
I was backing this guy in New Orleans building boats for the military.
Oh, yeah. What was the name? Higgins. Yeah, that's what it was. I remember him.
Okay. It was just, we're having a little fun with that, but it was just, you pop out and you could have jumped out the market before it all went bad and jumped an interest rate, or fixed annuities. They were paying good too. They're good interest rate. If 10-year treasuries were 3.6. Babe Ruth did that too. You know, it's been well documented.
He totally scored financially. Yeah. Didn't he? So this is interesting because, a step transaction. It's not a term I have used in my life. I don't think ever, but when they talk about how this goes in combination with other doctrines like substance over form, I know where this has come up on the show before. That's when people call in, they're like, listen, my dad's his health's pretty bad and he wants to give away his house and his car and all his money and all his assets so he can qualify for Medicaid. No, you can't do that. You can't do it with the specific intent, because substance over form, there's nothing illegal about giving away your car or your house or some of your assets. But if you're doing it with the specific intent to take advantage of the system, then there's an abuse stain, rightfully so, put over it. And they don't look too kindly on that, the federal government. And that's part of it, the substance over form. And that's not a real transaction. You're not giving away your car because your kid needs a car or because your neighbor needs a car. You're giving it away, not for the car giveaway, but so you can get to this other point indirectly. And that's the step transaction, is the giveaway. So you can get to the indigent status. And substance over form, were you really trying to give away your assets and lower your lifestyle, or are you just trying to qualify for this benefit?
Workaround.
Yeah, they don't like that. That's a backdoor Medicaid or Medicare. Medicaid? Medicaid.
Yeah, backdoor path to Medicaid. Yeah, and you're giving up the step-up basis on the real estate. There, they may have bought it for $15,000 in Metairie in 1905, and now it's worth, what, $350,000? And that's a lot of taxes to just give away.
Yeah, but boy, if someone calls in like that, you're one of the immediate pushback. We're not doing workarounds here. I can tell you what the rules are, but I'm not gonna sign off on that. So step transaction. There you go. Substance over form doctrine, all this good stuff. All right, hey, you ready to do these numbers?
Yep.
All right.
The numbers.
Welcome to The Numbers. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs, winningatlife.com or the Winning at Life app. And as soon as you pull it up, go ahead and click that Netflix chart because we're going to be talking about that in a second. Yeah, we are. So the markets, you would think by the reporting that they would all be in the red and it would just be god awful after what Trump said in Russia or Helsinki today. But markets didn't seem to care, think it was that catastrophic. The Dow Jones was up. Dow Jones was up about 0.2%. And now resting comfortably above that 25,000 landmark, 25,064 points. S&P was down 0.1%, and then NASDAQ was down about 0.25%. But look at this valuation. It's down off its all-time record high, which before the day before that was an all-time record high, and the close before that was an all-time record high. 7,805 points for the NASDAQ.
Yeah, we're still below the January 1929 10-year treasury rate. It was once again 3.60% January of 1929. Today it closed at 2.863%. It's like forever from that price. Crude oil's moving down still, $68.10. Gold shows flat, but it's down from what we talked about recently, $1,239.70. Silver, $15.81 an ounce. What's up with the metals? You know,
they're not that cool anymore.
We're just finding giant holes in the ground full of gold and silver. Thought it was going to be 10,000 ounce. Guy on TV said $10,000 an ounce soon.
You know, it's also kind of a hard sell when you
maybe
see the
it
stock
depends
market
on the definition of soon.
Oh, it definitely.
Maybe we're thinking about the wrong soon.
All right, on the short sheet here, Netflix had dropped a little at the end of the week, and the thought process was they really overshot their estimates on their report. So their quarterly report came out today for Q2, and sure enough, they missed, not by much, but the stock dropped 14 points within the span of about a half hour, and then it rebounded, ended in the positive today. What the heck? All right, so it is absolutely unstoppable. I got to cut it short here because we want to answer Kevin's question over here on Facebook Live. I saved it for last because it's pretty quick. How do you recommend saving for children's college? Actually, let me read it here. What are some of the various ways to pay for college?
Put it in a savings account in your name. You can put it in a savings account in your child's name. You can do a 529 plan. It has rules. You could do it through your Roth IRA as well. I like that option quite a bit. Plus you maintain control of it. 529, if you're planning to get financial aid, that money in that 529 is going to have to be spent first. There's a lot of ways to do it, and it's not about the return. This isn't 40 years worth of savings. Your child's probably somewhere under 10. So let's say they're 10 wanting to do it. How many years do you have? 8 years. It's about what you put away, not the return. I actually don't like doing much with that. It's like, okay, we need to invest this money. Well, you're going to need it, right? Yeah. Not too long, right? Okay. This isn't a 30 year plan.
It's in a compound interest situation.
Yeah. No, it's about saving the money and being prudent with it. You're going to need it.
Talking about Gregory Ricks and Associates.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a financial advisory firm. We're fiduciaries, mean we are licensed investment advisors. We're going to put you first, do the right thing. We want to give you location of where you are on the path. We're going to use the guided planning system to show you where you're headed and what tweaks you need to make between now and then. The office number is 504-832-9200.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Hello to Jason watching on Facebook Live from the UK. I love it when we go international. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.